Hello and welcome to the Arena Sports Show. My name is Claire Grace Mpanza. Raymond Reddington once said that he can only lead you to the truth. And you may ask yourself, why am I quoting the blacklist? That's because the gentlemen with me in studio today, they have literally copied his wardrobe. And they decided that they're going to give us that old classic look. And I'm absolutely loving it. They've got the Groetman hat. Cesar Mabena is feeling accompanied today. He's normally the only one. And of course, great to have you back, Cesar Mabena. You've been gone for a while.
Great to be back.
Yeah, no, I was tempted to sing Eminem's songs, Guess Who's Back.
Oh, yeah, and he's back, by the way.
And he's also back.
Yeah, nice to have, taken Mahlatsi's place, super sub.
No, but you know what the difference is? Is that Mahlatsi will always have a place in the show. So.
Oh, okay.
I'm joking, but it is good to have you back. Influence, as you can tell, is not with us. And joining us today is, of course, a special man who's been, of course, in this football space for a very long time, over 20 years experience. Victor Hlongwane joins us today, and he's got the memo spot on. Vic, Cesar Mabena, he's always wearing this hat. So today, the reason I mentioned the hats is that he feels very special and connected to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
Hi, Abshin. I'm okay, man. I'm just coming from a Father's Day celebration. So these hats, you cannot see a young man wearing these.
Thank you.
These are for fathers.
Yes.
I can give you the title. That other one. He's a bit tricky. He's trying to be Groetman level, but we'll let him get away with it, brother.
I'm surprised. Where is Mahlatsi? Is he suspended?
Four games suspension.
No, it's just one game.
Just like CAF and FIFA is one game. But in the PSL, two games. So because it's at international stage, so it's one game
suspension. It's just one game, sir.
No, it's understandable.
Next level, no?
Next level.
But as you can tell, we're in good spirits here, and we have a jam-packed show for you. So much to look forward to. Our usual features, and of course, getting to talk about the football game, and of course, analysis from an officiating perspective. We always want to find out and prick their brains as to when they make certain decisions, what happens, what are they seeing, what are we perhaps missing. So Victor Hlongwane will be unpacking that for us today. But before that, let's find out, of course, what's been happening in the world of sports and your top stories.
The ICC has confirmed teams and fixtures for the Super 8 stage of the 2024 Men's T20 World Cup to be started by an interesting clash between South Africa and co-host USA at the Sir Vivian Richards Stadium in Antigua on Wednesday, the 19th of June. Four of the Super 8 qualifiers have won the World Cup previously in the form of India, England, West Indies and Australia. These matches will be played across in Antigua, Barbuda, Barbados, St. Lucia, St. Vincent and the Grenadines. Loftus is preparing for the much-anticipated United Rugby Championship final between the Bulls and Glasgow Warriors on Saturday. The Bulls beat fancy Leinster at the weekend, while the Warriors shocked Munster to set up this final in the Highveld. France coach Didier Deschamps was not able to confirm whether or not talismanic attacker and captain Kylian Mbappe will be able to return to the team for the next match against the Netherlands on Friday after the forward suffered a badly broken nose in Dusseldorf on Monday. Former Nigeria coach Finidi George has reportedly attributed his resignation to the decision of the Nigerian Football Federation to hire a foreign technical advisor. Details from his resignation letter reveal that he was willing to stay on despite the team's underwhelming performances in his initial official matches.
Clearly, a lot has been happening in the world of sport. And, of course, we then head over to one of my favorite features, Star of the Week, where we basically choose athletes or organizations that have impressed us in the past 7 days. First of all, we'll start with the man who has won suspension, Mahlatsi Mphahlele. Let's find out who's he Star of the Week.
My player for the week, I'm doing it differently this time, like once again, is the Bulls. As we all know that the Bulls beat Leinster on Saturday at Loftus to book a home final. Obviously, at that time of their match, they did not know what the result of the other match between Munster and Glasgow Warriors was going to be. It turned out that Glasgow Warriors pulled a massive upset to beat Munster, which means the Bulls will host the United Championship Rugby Championship final at Loftus on Saturday. And also, let's bear in mind that this final was supposed to be at FNB Stadium, but it turns out that the presidential inauguration is happening on Wednesday, paving the way for the Bulls to host this big match at their hallowed grounds of Loftus. For what the Bulls have been able to do this season is something remarkable, and kudos to them that they've made to the final, and for the mere fact that they managed to beat a strong Leinster side makes them my player of the week for this week.
Well, interesting pick, of course, from the influencer, keeping things moving and bringing it in studio, Sizwe Mabena. You have the honors of letting us know who your star of the week is.
I'm going to go to the world of boxing. A big boxing match over the weekend. One of my favorite boxers worldwide, Gervonta Tank Davis, was fighting Frank Martin. He'd taken about 14 months off. He'd spent some time in correctional services, so to speak, for some domestic affairs. And we'd been waiting to see what his form would be like when he returns. Unbeaten in 30 now, with 28 knockouts. Quite a performance over the weekend. Yeah. Lovely knockout. And one of the faces of boxing for me, and a huge star in the game of boxing. So still, champion of the world at 135, I think the weight category is. Gervonta Tank Davis, my star of the week.
All right. Vic, who's your star of the week?
I'm going to the playoffs. Richards Bay and Tax. There's a player who impressed me. I was surprised to hear he's from loan from Mamelodi Sundowns, Sibanyon.
Yes.
Yeah, he's tall, that guy. Eh? Yeah. And he can hit anything. If you check Sundown strikers, it's only Shalulile who can hit. I won't be surprised when he's recalled back, because when Sundowns play in the CAF Champions League with the Moroccan tall players, it needs someone of his caliber than having Serino, who can't even jump. So, yeah, I think he will be perfect fit to go back home and then add value. I don't know whether tax with the university budget they will be able to afford him to stay for the coming season.
I like that you say that, Vic, and I'm just going to prick your brain real quick, because normally I remember the story of Kama Billiot, that he was actually spotted by a referee, and hearing you speak so well now of Sibanyoni and saying that you wouldn't be surprised to see him being recalled in Mamelodi Sundowns. Talk to us about that referee's eyes to be able to spot talent and say this could be someone that could influence the game.
Yeah, many players have been spotted by referees. I can even whisper to you, if you did not know, that Pelembe was spotted by the referees.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Pelembe was spotted by the referees, Bo Herman Kuna the late.
Yeah.
And they informed Pirates about the player.
Yeah.
Someone at Pirates, Mozambique was playing Lesotho. The games were on SuperSport. Now, they went to Lesotho to see. SuperSport came to sign. Now, all of a sudden, the player was at SuperSport.
Sure.
And then those players who saw him while they were refereeing Mozambique, they were surprised. This player that we told you is here. And by that time, he was killing Pirates. Eh?
Yeah.
Mm. And it was like, ah. So we see a lot of players that we, especially when you are outside the country, and then that we recommend to some teams, and then it's up to them. Mm. So we are very good in that.
Yeah,
spies.
Definitely. Totally spies.
Spies, now we know.
Absolutely love that. And then my star of the week, because Matlati is not here, who normally asks me, so I'll have to tell you myself. No, you do not, Sizwe Mabena. But I'll tell you nonetheless. Yeah? N'Golo Kanté. Oh, back my goodness. I absolutely love Kanté. I mean, yes, a bit biased now and again, but he served Chelsea for a good 7 seasons, a true fighter of the game. He bossed that middle of the park last night when they were playing Austria. And, man, he won the man of the match accolade as well. So, N'Golo Kanté, a star. I was tempted to go to Motorsport, but I was like, no, man. N'Golo showing us class. And it's funny, I was actually looking into social media, and the last time he posted Sizwe Mabena was when he announced his departure from Chelsea. And I thought, man, that must have really hurt Kanté to leave and go silent like that. So it's great to see him back, and of course being given a chance at the France, at the French national team, and we are happy about that. We keep things moving, though. A lot is happening in terms of the rugby space. So we'll first off start off, of course, with national duty. The Springboks will be taking on Wales very soon. So let's find out what took part, of course, in the press conference in terms of the squad selection.
I think the first thing is You know, we're trying to, obviously we didn't, as I always say, we didn't have a chance in 2020 to kick on and really put some more layers onto our game and things that we want to get right. And then 2021 was the Virginia Irish Lions and then only 2022. I think we're now fortunate that COVID is not here anymore. And we, at some stages, had to throw in sometimes 80, 90 new players, like against Wales and some away Argentinian test matches too, which wasn't ideal. And sometimes we lost most of those matches. So, yeah, what we're trying to do is just make sure that we still are where we are and where we can be and where we were last year in terms of our core things, how we play. How we play the game, can we still do those things? I think that's the most important thing. I think the pressure will always be there, and you know, sometimes you're a bit worried about something because injuries or because something that you planned didn't really go as well in training as you hoped, or something that you tried to say in a team meeting didn't come out quite right, and you're not sure if the players understand that, and those little self-doubts and stuff will always be there. But then again, if you've got a coaching team around you and a management team around you and you pick the right players with the right attitude and with the potential, you know, they help you sometimes and be honest with you and say, but we didn't quite get that or we don't that think that will work, you know. And we have to have our long-term hat on whilst or trying to win current test matches. And you know, the Bulls players are not available. The Stormers players only really trained with us 2 days. And I would say we announced a team internally yesterday. And then the Stormers players only trained last week, Thursday and Friday with us. I think what we as this group are fortunate is that we can just take on with it. You know, it's just something we have to rebuild again. And the only way to do that is train and work and let the main thing stay the main thing. So I would say that that helps a lot.
Still staying with rugby, we move over now to rugby scribe Ben McBrandon now to, of course, unpack as we look into the Bulls' journey after they managed to secure their spot in terms of they will be playing the finals this weekend against Munster at Loftus Festival Stadium. So let's quickly find out what he has to say.
Massive final on Saturday at Loftus Festival. Bulls going in as favourites, but I think one of the things that they have to watch out for is that they haven't played their final already. Leinster was such a massive game. It was such a massive task for them that a lot of people thought they wouldn't make it. And putting in so much energy into that game, not sure how it would have affected them for Saturday. But they'll be at Loftus. They'll be in front of a full crowd, a full house. Yeah, they'll be on the back of momentum, back of winning momentum. And they should have everything in their favour. Of course, they're playing at home. This is what you want. You don't get your finals not to win them. So it'll be interesting to see what exactly tactics they do. But Glasgow are definitely a threat. They showed they can win away from home. Winning at Munster is no easy task. And I don't think a lot of people gave them a chance to win there. And so dethroning the defending champions was a hell of a thing for Franco Smith's side. They were exceptionally good in that game. They were very good in the second half at Loftus last time. And they're coming back here with a much better side this time around. A couple of players returning from injury, and they'll be certainly got nothing to lose, so they've got everything to gain, and that's the biggest threat for the Bulls. Saying that, the Bulls' loose trio is playing exceptionally well. Valida Roo, we have to wait and see if he's going to be playing. Yeah, it'd be a big loss if he doesn't play. Be interesting to see what they do. Probably the most likely case is probably move Devon Williams back to fullback. He's been played there before this season. David Creel can also play there. They've also got the likes of Jakob van Walt and Henry Immelman. Sergio Pedersen can play at fullback. So there's a couple of options that they have. But obviously they'll be hoping that Vili will be all right and try and get him back as soon as possible. I think the Bulls should be favourites in this game. It's a tough one, a final. They don't lose playoff games very often at Loftus, and the crowd will certainly be their fortress this weekend. But saying that, you know, Franco Smith has won at Loftus before. He's won Curry Cups there with Rossi, with the Cheetahs, and he's played exceptionally. He's an exceptionally astute coach who knows how to play the Bulls. So we're going to see an intriguing mind battle there. Jake White got the best over Leo Cullen last week, but this week, who's going to come on top? I think all fingers point towards Loftus to the Bulls, but I think it's a much closer final than a lot of people expect.
Well, thank you very much to Brendan, Null, and Chloe. I just wanted to make a point now, Pravik, with regards to South African sports right now. The Bulls are doing well. Mm-hmm. That's Clark Rugby. Never mind the Springboks. We know how well they're doing. Bafana Bafana did well from an international space at the AFCON earlier this year.
Yeah.
Sundowns did well, getting to the semifinals of the Champions League. It feels right now it's a good time to be a sports fan in South Africa with so many levels, both international and clubs doing well. The Olympics are coming up and we're looking for some joy there as well. But it's a healthy time now, it seems to me, to be a South African sports fan with so many different sports scores doing well.
No, I fully concur. I think more than anything, Bafana Bafana have been the ones that, you know, had to pick up the weight because everybody else has been a bit lackluster. I mean, they've been doing well, I beg your pardon. The Proteas have been lackluster, where now you see them, now they don't. But they're doing well currently at the World Cup. So it's a great time. Akani Simbine is also looking like he's on form. So we've got hope going into the Olympics. So it really is a great time to be a South African. And Vic, I mean, we're talking about this off-air about being a great South African. And you know, I also had to be a spy a little bit myself and call some of my friends who play the game to find out, you know, their relation with you. And I was absolutely humbled as to what they said. They said that one thing about Vic is that he treated us like human beings. So you can have a conversation with Vic. And even if you're not happy, you say, but Vic. And then apparently your response would be, but Ngwenya, I'm also human in all of this. So let's talk to each other, kahle, and remember that age gap. And I was absolutely humbled by that. Talk to us about, you know, that experience from your perspective to also, you know, value the players, their opinion, even though, yes, the emotions might be high, but handling their emotions in a game.
Yeah, one day I was sitting with an old man called Braden Leboa. If you did not know, you are 2000. But
I know.
Not a 2000.
When PSL started in 1996, he was sent to England to learn how to run the Premier League. And he came back and introduced everything. He said to me, hey, Victor, the player has the TP. They are human beings. Some of them, when you speak to them, they change behavior. Then I'm like, huh? So through, with the help of my teaching background and profession, I began to understand that, if you speak to them, some of them change behavior. I started practicing it. And it worked for me because some of them, you say, hey, don't kick them and kick the ball. And then you see a change, you know, hey, you'll get a necessary yellow card. Some did receive. When you speak to them and then they are arrogant, then you have to give. I remember one day I spoke to Kingston Carter. I said, hey, Carter, you will get unnecessary yellow cards. He said, give me. So when he says give me, you know, you can see the hands. What is the law? The law says showing dissent by words or action. So this is by action and words. Can everybody see this? Then I will give. And if he had said, give me, I was not going to give because I can't sell that decision. Now, the TV, the coach, everyone can see their heads up. So, he's showing dissent. Then yellow card comes out. So, yeah, it comes with experience and maturity and the background of who you surround yourself in order to enhance your knowledge and your, you know, application in terms of managing the game.
Now, I have to ask you and take you back a long time. Reading up on you, I believe you started refereeing at 15.
Yeah, 15 years, 1991.
15 years of age.
Yeah.
Okay, now I have to find out because for me, refereeing is almost like being a police officer. That job, you have to be very brave to want to be, you know, because it's one of those jobs where you go underappreciated by the community at large, and in this case, the footballing community. I don't think appreciates referee as much as maybe we should, and the jobs you guys have, because it's not an easy job. What attracted you to refereeing?
Firstly, since it's not a police officer only.
Yeah.
You are a police officer, you are a prosecutor and a judge. Because you see an infringement, you must now decide the law.
Yeah.
And then now you must analyze what sanction to give. That is prosecuting.
For sure.
And when you sentence, now you are a judge.
Sure. Yeah.
That's why in French, a referee is called arbitre. In Portuguese, arbitros.
Yes.
So can you see it elevated to someone who's very important in life.
I love the French lesson. Mahlatsi would have enjoyed it as well.
Arbitre.
Yeah.
When you go to French, arbitre. Although when you go to Zambia, they say FIFA. They don't call referee.
Oh, they call FIFA.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now, in 1991, they wanted referees for my team. They said every team must produce or must send a referee for training.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that people don't want to volunteer to save the team. So at that time, I was a young boy.
Mm.
My job was to watch the kid, looking after the equipment, and even to put Muti in the team.
Really?
When
wait,
we play,
what?
I would put Muti in the team. Because they needed someone who's very young. So I was a Muti boy.
Oh, wow, Vic.
Okay. And then now they wanted referees. So as the savior of the team, I had to do whatever to save the team.
Okay. Sure.
If they don't send, they will be fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I went in there to save the team. Then after realizing that when you are a referee, you are already in the starting lineup because firstly, you finish the game, there's no substitution for you.
Yes.
Yes.
And when you go to the matches, there are no referees.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm like, this is the nice place to be.
Yeah.
And then since then, I was like, when we train during the week, I was like, well, fun. Pencil is on Bulahat. And I'm on the starting line. Captain Maingen, but the referee, the team, I'm a referee. Bazakim, but the kumula. So that was good for me to say, oh, starting lineup, I'm guaranteed. And then I develop from there, you know. Playing, I will train with the team.
Yeah.
But weekend, I'm good with bench.
So I was asked, were you one of those players that I had to think about and say, hey, as in if I keep playing, so it's better to get in the starting 11. I've got a better chance being a referee than being a player.
No, my team had quality. It was difficult to break in there.
Yeah.
It was one of the big teams in the village.
Mm-hmm.
So the quality was good to such an extent that to break in, it was going to take me 4 or 5 years.
Okay. Yeah.
That's why when I get in, you could be that. Not last 3 minutes.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, but then I realized, no, man, there's another place where you can play the whole 90 minutes.
And you dictate
that
the optional
decide,
time.
You decide the optional time. So that's the enjoyment of being. If you want to join referee, you must know that, number one, you are on the starting lineup.
For sure.
Number two, you are also paid to run there.
Oh, yeah.
Because they used to pay me. I used to get two rand, and by that time, guinea was 5 cents.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can see it was a lot of money.
For sure. Yeah.
The following year, I graduated, I got 10 rand, which is 20 rand.
Yeah.
Now it's like a quarter school.
You're good now. Talk to us about, I mean, you mentioned the training part, and I remember there was a time where you suffered a hamstring injury. How does, you know, the training look for a referee, you know, week to week? How do you prepare for a game?
Yeah, it depends on the game. That you're going to referee, very important. You need to know to show tactical awareness.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you go and do Sundowns, the sprinting is less, unless when Klopo has the ball, then you must look for Sereno.
Yeah.
You must run. But many a time, Dennis Onyango, when he has the ball, he will roll it. But when you go Chief Pirates, when Kune has the ball, you must look for Shaba, you must look for Bidat, you must sprint to that side. So in your training, you need to incorporate that today I'm doing a team that is good with counter-attack. Pirates is very good. So when Pirates has the ball, they vote so Vilakazi. When they have the ball, within seconds, they are in the penalty area. And then if you did not anticipate, you will be somewhere in the center circle, ball in the penalty area. You say, oh, help me, God. God say, no, I can't help you. No anticipation. You're supposed to be there. So now you need to, the training should be, you look at the teams.
Yeah.
The team's tactics should inform your training on your match preparation in that particular week.
I had the pleasure once during a COSAFA tournament a year or two ago to sit in and Nopra Felix and see just what the referees go through in preparing and looking at a match. If the ball is, let's say, corner flag there, you should be here.
Yeah.
If the ball is on the corner flag that side, you should be here. If it's in the middle, this is the best position for you to be.
Yeah.
Just I know it's difficult to explain it to the listeners, but they don't understand the positioning of the referee, the positioning of the ball, where it's best to be. But can you try and take us through that, just so the layman can understand how hard it is for you to always remember where you need to be tactically to make the best decisions on the game?
Cesar, you touch on my strength. That is my strength.
Mm.
We do have referees who will be who'll run faster than me. You know, I'm not fast. You can see I'm tall. But there are those who... Now, the best position in football is the position where the referee can be able to see. You find referees in a good position. Can they see? The answer is no. Now, the best position, you must be able to see. So when they... You know, previously when I started refereeing, they will tell you you must run diagonal.
Yes.
And then jiggy jiggy, it changed. No, no, you must do oval. Jiggy jiggy, it changed. Ah, man, there is no best position here. The best position is the position where the referee can see. So now, those are all recommendations.
Yeah.
The most important thing, what do people want for a referee to see?
To make the best decision.
I gave a penalty, Chiefs, Pirates. Olisanda pulled brilliant.
Yeah.
I was very far. But I maintained a position where, okay, if I run here, I can't see. Then I had to move this side. I could see the hand. Far as I am, with no pace, a penalty. And when they look at slow motion, penalty was correct decision. What do you want? You can only say, no, maybe if you can, we could have moved. How do I move with an old age? If you're over 40. You can't run as fast as Jilly Chaban. So the best position for us is you must be able to see.
Yeah.
If you're able to see whether wrong or what, you know, I saw the Italian league the other day when they flag for throw in. Oh, like this.
Okay.
But here we'll say, no.
Yes.
Like this. But the decision was correct.
Yeah.
So. It depends, but it's nice when the assistant referee said this or that, but Italy, the decision is correct, so we want the correct decision.
So to follow up on that, we were talking to Dr. Kloppy last week, and he was mentioning how important he believes an eye test is for footballers, you know, where he believes that, you know, sometimes that players don't see, and he's proved, you know, some of this, theory is correct, where he's taken some of the players and say, but I see you're missing all the time. Why are you missing? And to find out that indeed the player has an eye impairment. In terms of officiating, do you guys, what kind of tests do you go through? And is eye test perhaps also some of the tests that is incorporated?
I'm going to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I did an eye test is when we had a camp in Pochefstroom. That was very good. It was for the first time in my refereeing career in the professional rank, after maybe 10 years in the professional ranks.
Yeah.
But that eye test we did, I think, for 3 years, where they will, you know, they will just say, put your fingers like this, without turning your head, use your eyes like this. Because once you move like this, you're missing it.
Yes.
So now, but when you do like this, you think your eyes, it really helped a lot, because from that day, I was no longer missing fouls. Because what happens in football is, there's what we call late tackle.
Yes.
The player passes the ball there.
You follow the ball.
And then you follow the ball. Someone comes, you just hear the scream, and then you cannot see.
For sure.
Or you did not see because your eyes went with the ball. So with that eye test, it really helped a lot in terms of you referee looking at late challenges. And talking about the doctor, I had one doctor, he's with SuperSport now. It's good to interact with the doctors.
Yeah.
He taught me something. Today, I think you might be hearing for the first time. He taught me, Victor, when a player screams, there's nothing. It's fear. He said, Victor, start checking. When a player is kicked, he will never scream because he's feeling pain.
Sure.
Now I started experimenting that. Oh, Gabos are screaming. Ah! Hey, Gabuza, there's nothing, man. Nothing, just fear, man. Get up. So, it really, you know, getting it from a doctor, whom we flew together from Devon to Cape Town, talking about the game, I learned a lot. When you scream on the field of play, there's nothing. It's fear. If you check, majority of them, it's like, they wanted to kick him.
Yeah.
And then,
I don't know if you've heard me say in commentary.
Yeah.
I've said it a number of times over the years.
Yeah.
Which, you know, when a player's moving around a lot.
Yeah.
Nothing. When they're still, when you worry.
Yes.
And this I learned from my father, who also used to work in medicine. Ugutu, no. When I was a kid growing up, he'd always say, luanga limalanga, lono. Yambona, ugutu, limalanga. And that stayed with me until I started commentating. Mm.
That's why, you know, we are lucky in South Africa. We only have one doctor. There's a doctor who's a referee, Kola Sitela. Mm-hmm. And we say, yeah, he's a referee doctor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I always fight with him, doc. You should use your medical experience, man. Me, I've just done first aid, but
yeah.
When it comes to assessing an injured player, even if I did not see a red card, I can get a red card while assessing the player to say, this one is seriously kicked. He won't move. He will be feeling pain. But those that are rolling, if you are kicked and feeling pain, how will you roll?
Yeah.
Hey, now you are doing, I don't know, somersaulting there to show
a bit
who,
of tricks.
To show who.
Now, it's still staying behind the scenes with regards to preparations and getting you guys ready for a normal season. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that Chloe mentioned, you know, the eye tests and the medical side of things.
Yeah.
But I remember there was a season, years ago now, when the season started, there were physical tests referees had to go through. Mm-hmm. And on that particular season, I can't remember the names, and I won't mention the names of the refs anyway. Mm-hmm. I remember maybe two of them. But there was maybe four refs that didn't pass the physical requirements.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think you had to run a certain number of kilometers, 3 kilometers, 12 minutes or something. I can't remember what the timings were.
Yeah.
Tell us about that and educate people on that.
Before the season starts, there's a test that we do. It's called FIFA Fitness Test.
Mm-hmm.
So in all the leagues, whether provincial league, national league, you have to run that to qualify for the season.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, if you're an international referee, if you fail, you have to go run in another country as part of punishment that you should have passed.
Okay.
I remember in 2012, I had an injury that I was not aware.
Yeah.
I had a stress fracture.
Yeah.
Sure.
So in that year, we ran in Jimmystown. Several referees failed. I think it was 10-11. Only Bennett passed.
What
that is the year you're talking about.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Only Bennett passed.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Now, they were complaints. Will the league start without senior referees?
Yeah.
No, the league can't start. They had to do a retest.
Uh-huh.
You have to do a retest within 6 weeks period.
Okay.
But there you could not wait for 6 weeks because how do you throw the young ones into a Premier League match with a lot at stake?
Mm.
So that fitness test, that year, there's a lot that happened that year because... I ran in Tanzania, but I also find myself in the front page of Soweto.
Yeah.
My head was medium, but it was made extra large to fit the...
Yeah, the page. Yeah.
And you know what they wrote there?
Uh-huh. What did they write?
Fit to travel and fit to rest.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I went to Mozambique for an international match, which I was fourth official.
Yeah.
Okay.
So fourth official, I'm not going to run.
Yeah.
Although I had stress fracture, but I could run if he was injured.
For sure.
Yeah, so now there was one referee who went to DRC as well.
Mm.
So they were writing about that referee. Now, because I won referee of the year that year.
Yes.
Mm.
So it makes sense to maximize my head so that it can, you know, fit in the page.
Yeah.
When I went to run in Tanzania, when I came back after passing, I went to the same journalist. Madam Lung, it's Mlung, you know.
Yeah.
You must write, fit to ref. And fit to travel. Then I could not see that. But yes, there's fitness tests that we do.
Yeah.
We also do some match analysis off-site and trivia. Trivia is like they will ask you about the loss of the game.
And speaking about the fitness test, what was the distance and the times you had to make to qualify to be fit enough to start the season?
Yeah. Remember, fitness tests change every year, or when FIFA suits fits, they change.
Mm-hmm.
I think I ran 3 fitness tests. The first one when I came to the panel was Cooper test, where you were supposed to do 7 laps in 12 minutes.
Yes.
But it changed. Now, the one that we are doing currently, ground is 400 meters.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's divided into 75, 75, 75, 75.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So within that 75, you have 25 minutes rest.
Mm.
So it's 75, you rest. 75, you rest. 75, you rest. So that 75, you must run it in 15 seconds.
Mm. Oh.
So it's 1, 75, 75, 75, so it's 1, 2, 3. You must do it 10 times.
Sure.
Then you have passed the test. But before you go to that high-intensity test, you have, as a referee, you have to do 6 sprints. Because as a referee, remember, you sprint.
Mm.
So those 6 sprints, I think you do it in 6 seconds, which will be 40-meter sprints.
Sure.
So after passing the 40-meter sprints, then you go to this one.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pass, then appointments will come. Your name will be sent to FIFA. Uh-huh. You'll receive an SMS to say you're doing Pirates and Swallows.
Uh-huh. At this day. Nice.
Yeah, that's even when we pass the fitness test, yeah. I normally sing, Ipanelia Sevelitwa. Yes, baby. Aungenimala. Because you said there's something you were saying.
Yeah.
And when they fail, you'll see them sitting in the corner there. Aungenimala. Yes, baby.
But principal, I mean, from what you've mentioned, right, I think I'm particularly interested in terms of the media aspect. I mean, you talk about seeing your head being enlarged in the newspaper. And sometimes, you know, you talk to footballers as well when they also rewatch the games and they say some of the panels in terms of the analysts, the commentators, they feel they're a bit too harsh. So I want to find out from a referee's perspective, what you made of the media. I know we spoke a bit off air about what Sizwe Mabena once said. Maybe you can start with what Sizwe Mabena once said once upon a time. And then just allude to, you know, that role media plays as well in terms of officiating.
Yeah, when you do a game or when you do something at national level, you must how do I put it nicely? You must be ready for criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Criticism builds. If you don't want to build yourself, stay out.
Yeah,
we won't talk. Mm. But once you do something, we will talk or people will talk. And when they talk, take it constructively, man. If you take it by heart, my friend, you will never last here.
Mm.
You will hate people for nothing because their job is to talk. There are people who are employed to talk. Just to talk.
Yeah.
It's their job.
Mm.
Now, when they talk, you want to be angry at them. Why will they get their salaries?
Uh-huh.
So, when they talk about you, Sizwe talked about me the other day. I was Pirate Chiefs Free State Stars. It was a cup game, Ren Stadium.
Yes, sir.
You can see it's long I've been a referee.
I can tell.
No, I was supposed to give a penalty. I did not give. When I listened to commentary at home, hey, my penalty, you know, the referee can want a chicken out instead of giving a penalty.
So harsh.
And it was a clear penalty. The only mistake I did was to take my eyes from the incident to where the ball will land.
Mm-hmm.
And then the player was kicked. So it was an... It was honest.
Yeah.
Because I should have awarded a penalty, but I did not.
Mm.
Now, when you want to get angry at Sizwe for saying you chicken out.
Own it.
You should have given.
Yeah.
So I took it like a man, positively so. I said, I'm no longer going to chicken out.
Mm.
And I don't know when I gave the next one, what did he say?
He doesn't remember.
I need to check. When I gave the next one, what did he say? You know?
Yeah.
And you know, in the field, we get so many players. You know, football is an emotional game.
For sure.
And at our level, you are told a top referee must be able to manage the emotional reactions of players and coaches.
100%.
If management fails, that's when he can throw the book. So you cannot just give a player when he says, meanwhile you can manage it.
Mm.
So you need to manage those emotions and in a way that you don't have to come out in the match with 9 yellow cards.
Yeah.
When they check, were they really 9 yellow cards, only to find some could have been managed.
For sure.
Yeah.
I want to know then, based on everything we're discussing now, especially the media, what we say sometimes as commentators, and maybe the judgment in papers. Have you had a game where you felt so bad afterwards, maybe because of your performance or because of the way your performance was judged, it's difficult to leave home? I spoke to Dane Clate once, and he said he scored an own goal in a derby.
Yeah.
He said for the week following, he had to send the wife to go to the shops. He couldn't go to the shops anymore. He had to stay in the house. He just felt, that's how bad he felt about scoring the own goal. Have you ever gone through those difficulties where you're thinking, ish, man, today I can't go to ShopRite because there's that one guy, ShopRite, who's a big fan, and I made a decision. Maybe I was wrong in that decision, and he's going to ask me about it. Let's rather go to Pick and Pay today and go buy a plate. <You know? laughs>
Now I had a game where, even today, it still hurts me, but I've accepted and I've spoken to the player. I gave a red card and a penalty. Maritzburg and Polokwane City in Polokwane. Brian Onyango is now with Sundowns. A shot was taken. He went like this. You know, like this. You can see. Now I heard two sound. Papa. So I was convinced that it hit here and the hand. Now, penalty. He was the last man.
Yes.
That means denying an obvious goal scoring opportunity or denying a goal.
Yeah.
Red card. Now, when I arrive at the hotel and look at the match, the ball hit here. Where did I get the two sound? I don't even know.
Sure.
I was like, God, what happened? What happened?
Yeah.
I prayed. And to say, it's mistakes do happen. And but it worried me, how did I not, you know, get maybe assistance from my colleagues?
Yeah.
There was nothing. At the end of the day, I got the decision horrible wrong. So I could not move nicely myself because, you know, and one newspaper wrote, I'm going to be suspended. He was right. And the suspension, when it eventually came, I'm like, this one, I will take it like a man. This one, I will accept it and try and see how can, how do you avoid that? It's difficult. That's a shot,
Yeah.
And I don't have VAR. Maybe if we had VAR, it could have assisted me in that regard.
Because
I would have given, they said, hey, come. And I said,
Vic, I mean, I found that interesting, right? I've always wanted to find out from, you know, the ref's perspective in terms of the team, your colleagues around you, when you feel perhaps, Ngwenya, you could have assisted me there. How did you also miss it? What's the conversation like when your fourth official perhaps misses it and you also didn't see it? What's the talk afterwards?
Do you have a fight?
At times when it's clear, like I remember having a fight with Zakhele. Zakhele missed an offside. So I took it.
Yeah.
And then he was angry at me. Victor, now you're becoming an assistant referee. Eh? Where is the offside?
Yeah.
He did not see it. Maybe he switched off at that particular time.
Yeah.
And then we fight on the game, but he said, nah, man, I see you again, Khulile, man. And then we finished the match. When we arrived at the hotel, he watched the match. In the morning breakfast, he came and apologized. Hey, Wangaheta, man. Hey, Wangaheta. It was someone who have said, Kizakele is a big assistant referee in the country.
For sure.
Not overruled me. And you know, when a player is in an offside position, you are there in an offside position, the ball comes, you come and challenge me from an offside position. You are now interfering with an opponent. So Zakhele did not see that. And it was Nikovic who came and he challenged. So no flag. I'm like, I can see the player from an offside position coming to challenge this one. With my experience. And the commentators were very happy with the decision. They were praising him for nothing.
Your colleagues, Mabena.
Yeah, offside. Very good decision by the assistant referee. Paraguna flag.
It happens, yeah?
That's interesting because I want to move to a part where the difficult sides of your job. Now, there's very many difficult sides of your job. I'll give you a story. One of my friends from Nigeria who worked with the Nigerian team once told me a story of a big must-win game. Now, I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah, big must-win game.
A must-win game for a qualifier. Now, allegedly, the officials went and approached a referee whom they knew was officiating the game, maybe from another country, though, Togo or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they knew ahead of time, and they went and went up to him and said, listen, ref, you know, here's a little something, please, man. Can you know, what does it do to win?
Yeah.
You're terrible at bribing, by the way.
I know, your
face is...
Apparently the ref said no. So they thought, okay, fine. They went and found the wife. And the wife sells food on the side of the street. They said, hey, man, we approached your husband. She said no. I mean, he said no, but this is what we are offering for this match. When the referee came home, the wife is like, are you mad? We are taking this money. We need this money.
I remember that story.
We need this money. And you're going to give these people what they want.
Yeah.
Now, that's the story. I don't know if it's true or not. But do things like this happen? How often and how difficult is it?
Francis, I've been a referee when I counted the years, professional, 23 years, because I came in 1999 in the coastal stream of the NFD. And then when I retired in 2021, I was counting. I'm like, hey,
yeah.
I've been approached several times. If you're a referee and you say, I've never been approached, you are lying.
Yeah.
Because even Gomez, Bennett, McLeod, all of them have been approached.
Ian McLeod, all of them.
All of them have been approached. The only difference is how do you handle it? If you are desperate, you might be tempted. If you are vulnerable, you might be tempted.
For sure.
But if you check in South Africa, in 2005, we had Operation Dribble. Why?
Yes, I remember.
Why? Because teams were complaining. I've seen a match now where a goal is scored, is taken out by an assistant. Another goal is scored, is taken out by the referee in the NFD. Mm. That's when Operation Dribbler came in, because now there was a general outcry in the country where people were saying, enough is enough.
For sure.
And then if you check after 2005, what did PSL do and suffer through that commission? Because some referees were interviewed in the commission, mm-hmm. and then they said what they said, but what was said, or the general agreement, was referees are underpaid.
Mm.
When the league closes in June, there's no salary. Because we are paid by the match. If there's no match, there's no money.
For sure.
What do teams do? Teams will look at Caesar is not working. If I can give him 10,000, it's easy for him. Because if he's not working, what if he said no, what will he eat? So that is the situation. Then PSL and SAFA agreed to give us 2,000 when it started. Stipend every month.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you referee or what referee, that 2,000 is there.
Yeah. Okay.
And then from that 2,000, they will count how many games have you done. So it top
over
that. Mm. And then whether league equates or yakwala, at least yakrozai thing kunto. That helped South African football. I remember Ace Ngobo was the one who was our leader by then, because we elected Ace and Reggie to say, you need to take charge and present, because I agree you speak good English. And then that helped to arrest the situation in the country. And if you check other countries, I'm going to step in and they even fight to get their money. But in South Africa, that's helped restore the image of the league, because it was heavily tarnished.
Sure.
So Bangladesh in the number. I think when I won't rat, get rat, I won't look like it's a man. Not even once, several times.
Uh-huh.
But then you cannot go and say, and report and say, Urino akimu rat.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So then to stay with that, Vic, I mean, you look at the ABC Motsipe League, right? And there's always so much stories that come out of that league, whether referees are being chased and being assaulted. And of course, then the payment. Talk to us about officiating in that league and the difficulties, because I know your son as well officiates in that league. So perhaps, you know, you talk to him and you find out direct information as well from him, what he has to say about officiating in a game like that, in a league like that, rather.
Remember, I was a ref in the same league. Even while I was a ref in the PSL, I would be sent to Durban, to Northwest, to Limpopo, to go and tranquilize the situations, because situations are worse. I remember one day I went to Msinga. Somewhere far, far. You go there, you through the mountains. And when I arrived there, they said, Those are Monaco TV. Hey, we are refa, man.
Uh-huh.
And then when I get in there, the confidence of the people, that's Robert. Now figure it out. So that gave me an edge to say, oh, okay. So then I will go and, you know, tranquilize the situation whereby there's dignity in the game.
For sure.
The game's like a fairer. I'm not, man. Because of that experience and knowing the league itself.
For sure.
So yes, in that league, there's lots of complaint. In Gauteng, I'm the chairman of referees. I'm responsible for that league. I even receive calls to say, hey, that referee, now from a server side, when we're in the office, we now have to come up with plans of how do we then improve, how do we assist in this situation. For example, now, within my capacity, when we have courses for referees, you know, national, they will have 5 days workshop somewhere. Yeah, you remember the teams will go camp here and there. At national, we'll have 5 days camping somewhere. But in the provincial leagues, ABC Motsepe League, how do we train referees? You go there for the fitness test, 1 day is done. Is that enough?
No.
Now, as I'm speaking to you, I went to a SAFA Fund Village to try and arrange for a 3-day workshop as a start.
Okay.
To improve the standard of refereeing in Gauteng, where the ABC Motsepe League will be camping for 3 days. Check the quality this coming season.
Okay.
check the quality through the experience, through my experience and my influence. I need to make sure that our instructors get enough time with these players to teach them, educate them, so that when they go to the ABC Motsepe League, at least the performance is better.
Mm. Mm.
Then I will sort out the other temptations there, which I've already moved with my committee to say, let's try and increase the money of the referees. And the good thing is, even some teams agreed that for 10 years we have not increased in Gauteng.
Sure.
So this year, we're waiting for PEC, Provincial Executive Committee, to approve. Once they approve, there will be better salary for people in Gauteng, referees in Gauteng. Mm. We can't send a referee from Vaal to Pretoria because what we're paying now is too little.
Mm. Mm.
But after we've increased, then we can send a referee from Vaal to Pretoria to Tsakani, of which now it will have improved the game financially so, and also when we enhance their knowledge of the loss of the game.
So sticking with difficulties, right? We do know that as well, your engagement with coaches sometimes proves to be a bit of a challenge, especially when they don't agree with officials' decisions. We want to find out, you know, how you manage that. Yes, you talk about managing emotions, but do you go into a conversation after the game to say, but this is how I saw the game, and the coaches will take that, and how receptive are coaches in the country?
You know, people sometimes say, hey, Pito, only say when he wins the games. Only say good things when he wins the games. No, he said good things about me after losing a game.
Mm.
I was doing Sundowns and Black Aces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He lost 1-0. I gave Mabokwane a red card in the match. Yellow card for time wasting. He took the ball. Bah! Second yellow card. Same time, I did not hesitate.
You don't waste time.
If you disregard the laws in that, I said, that's your second yellow card. You are going, you might as well start walking. And then he goes. Now come Shaib Walters.
Yeah.
You know Peter style. Yeah. Pa. Shaib Walters was taking everything. End of the match, 1-0. I don't have complaint about the referee. The referee was very good. I lost.
Yeah.
That was good to hear.
Yeah.
And I didn't get several calls. So now, with the coaches, if you treat them with respect, apply the laws of the game, you can't argue with the laws. Laws are laws.
Yeah.
But at one stage, I had sent off 3 coaches in one game. You'll remember this game, Vets, Golden Arrows. Clinton Lassen was the coach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mandla was assistant coach.
Uh-huh.
Gavin this side.
Gavin, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now, we have to manage. Now, I go to Gavin insulted this one.
Uh-huh.
Now, Clinton retaliated.
Yeah,
I can't say. Now, Mandla Nikazen said, and you too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now I go to Mandla this side and say, Bafwetu, I come, Mandla. Let's calm down.
Yeah.
I didn't want to send them off.
Yeah.
Because I could see these emotions.
Yeah.
Mandla Wangenel. My management has failed.
You tried to be diplomatic.
I tried. My management is saying seven look. Now I'm sure but I'm seven look. Tinyani was the referee. Tinyani could not see me. Ball place. I said, hey, I go to the field. When it got out, I go to the field. Come. I said, Gavin Hunt, red card. Clinton Lassen, red card.
Uh-huh.
Mandla, red card. He says, ha. Who will coach the team? I said, hey!
They will sort it out.
They will sort it out. If you don't send them out, I'm going home.
You were the fourth official.
I was the fourth official.
Okay, sure.
Ah, now we came. You know, Tinyo. Red. When they go to the tunnel, they were shaking hands. I'm like,
guys.
But at the end of the day, they all accepted they were in the wrong using abusive language. And a strong language, but I could not manage it to an extent whereby I was told to serve someone, and now I have to throw the book. Now I book again.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, the difficulties now, we're talking mostly PSL. When you, at this time of the season, as a FIFA referee, there's World Cup qualifiers, there's COSAFA Cup games that are coming up as well.
Yeah.
So you guys are busy at this time of the season, especially at this, where there's qualifiers and so on going on. Now, when you have to travel the country and do CAF games, do FIFA games, what are the differences, what are the difficulties? Because firstly, there's the language issues, depending on where you're going.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now the diplomacy is not the same in other than the
same.
Yeah,
for sure.
So talk to us about those difficulties.
I'll start with a game I did in 2012, Brazil-Gabon.
Big game.
big game. Opening a stadium.
Yes,
you know me opening a stadium, brand opening.
Yeah.
Brazil, Portuguese. Gabon, French. Now I arrive at a match venue. You know, a day before the match, there's pre-match meeting. Mm. Someone delayed with the flight's details, but we eventually got them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we arrived, they were waiting for us in the pre-match meeting.
Mm.
They said, center referee. Then I raised my hand. Then I was with Sandile Dilikan and Mushidi.
Mm.
Now we move to the room. When we arrive at the door, because there's sitting arrangement. You don't just sit anywhere.
Okay.
The referee must sit here.
Mm-hmm.
First assistant, second assistant, fourth official.
For sure.
Now they need to put the referee on the first seat, yeah, of which I was the referee. Now when I arrived, they said, principal referee? Then I raised my hand because I could say, principal, you know,
there's no other principal.
That was where the name principal comes
from. Okay.
Now there's a principal, then I raised. So Dilikan said, hey, Victor, so promote you. I was just a center ref.
Principal ref.
So since then, he called me principal. So it came in like that.
Sure.
Now, during the match, I had to communicate with the players.
Mm.
How do you say calm down in French? How do you say calm down in Portuguese? I had to learn that.
Sure.
And I had to write it down. So at night, I was learning, okay, when it say calm down, it's tranquille. Mm. Tranquille in French.
Mm.
Tranquilo in Portuguese.
Mm.
So as I was sleeping, tranquille.
Tranquilo, tranquilo, tranquilo.
Then he stays. And then when I'm on the field, I remember at one stage I had to tell a player to tranquilo. I forgot tranquilo. Now I'm like, hey, how do I say it? I'm just, hey, probleme, probleme, because probleme is all of them understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, probleme, probleme. The player was apologizing and the message has gone through.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. So the language barrier, it's huge. Even here in South Africa, there was a player from Platinum Stars called Ranteira.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember him.
With big muscles. Yes.
Mm.
That guy speaks Spanish. I spoke to him on the field. Hey, my friend, you are falling, man. Please, man, stand up.
Mm.
Then Lazarus Matela was my assistant. He said to me on the earpiece, Victor, you're wasting your time. That guy does not hear anything of what you are saying because he doesn't speak English. I'm like, huh? How do I manage him?
Mm.
Now, Steve Compella was his coach.
Yes.
Mm.
He likes to dive, this guy.
Yeah.
And he's a big man diving. Now, when he dive, I went to him and said, Steve Compella, substitute.
You're calling the substitution.
Yeah. Now we realize that, hey, this man, Steve, will substitute me. He said, no. He said, stand up. And then he stood up.
Okay.
Now, every time he falls, when I go, No. Because substitution can be spoken by all these languages.
Yeah. Yeah.
End of the match, he was running to me, said, no, you. You know his English.
Yeah.
Substitution. Hey, substitution. No, stand up. No, bro, no problem. And then, there is that language barrier. So even Mendieta here.
Yeah.
Mendieta's English is done. Cirino has improved a lot.
Yeah.
Because when he came to South Africa, you know, Portuguese and Spanish, yeah, there's similarities.
For sure.
Remember Gomez once sent him out for using abusive language?
Yes.
He thought Gomez does not understand.
Yes.
Catino, Portuguese and Spanish are similar.
Mm.
I even coached Roger Disa. He used to insult us in Portuguese.
We did not
understand. Now, some of us were forced to learn because, you know, in Guyana in 1990, the people from Mozambique came to Guyana and they were speaking to us in Portuguese, but we did not take it seriously.
For sure.
Until when you are faced with a situation, homme, dos, tres, cuatro, they say cuatro, arbitro, cuatro, musis, four.
Four.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm fourth official when I was in Angola.
Yeah.
Then I started, you know, remembering, no, man, homme, dos, tres, cuatro, I can only count up to 10. In Portuguese.
Oh, you got up to 10?
Yeah, now I
have to go.
dash is 10. Now when you go to Roger, you're like, hey, Roger, me, fala Portuguese, eh? Poke, poke. Hey, me from Guyana, Mozambique, one thing, eh? and I had to put some smaller Portuguese words so that he gets
understands.
Hey, Comas Chama. Comas Chama means what is your name? Comas Chama.
Yeah.
Hey, tranquilo. Eh, poke poke, you go so divorce, I like you. Eh?
Mm.
Oh, now okay. I have to get
charming.
Nice.
Then, Roger Dizal was like, this one can give me a red card.
Because you understand.
Then I was saved from Roger.
Mm.
So language, big problem. I remember one stage we were in Egypt. Egypt was playing a team from Morocco. Now, end of the meeting. The meeting is finished. Now they spoke in Arabic and French. Khalas, Sefini. Now, they stood up to go have tea. So we thought, no, it's break. They are having tea. We were sitting, all of us, Gomez, Zakele. Now, the interpreter forgot to tell us that the meeting is finished. Now we realize that, hey, these people are sitting. It can be, ah, me forgot to tell you for you. Khalas, for finish. Sefini, for finish.
Oh, my goodness.
So now we have to learn and memorize all these things. The worst one was when we were in Congo Brazzaville. Congo Brazzaville, there's no English. We wanted milk. We could not get milk. Huh? Milk. Huh? Hey, but wait. As to totally be now they all look at me. Now I have to come up like, hey, milk, milk, milk.
What?
Milk, 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 milk. Now they went to fetch milk. When they came back with the milk, now they had to say, lele, le, le, le. Lele, le. So this one is lele. This one is le. Okay. Now you have to memorize. We wanted vegetables. Not before vegetables, we wanted chips. When you say chips, Basbon said, shop in, you could put my money here. Chips. We said, no, 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 no. Menu made, they brought them. He said, chips. Said, oh, French fries.
Oh, yes.
So, hey, Evan. So it's difficult, but now, I sense here, Zamanyan.
You seem to have mastered it, Vic. To move on, you know, from the difficulties, I want to find out from you, you know, atmosphere. And when we talk about the Soweto Derby here at home, we always talk about how exhilarating it is and how players should not be tempted to play the occasion, but to play the game. Now, from an official's perspective, a Soweto Derby, big games. Talk to us about, you know, such atmospheres.
When I got it in 2010, remember FNB was under construction for the World Cup. So the game had to be played in at Orlando Stadium. When the appointment came, I said, Victor, they sent an SMS. You have to respond. I did not respond. It took me an hour to respond because of the magnitude of the match. I'm like, no, no, they made a mistake. This is not me. They will correct it. Now, after an hour, they called. Hey, we gave you an appointment. Why are you not replying? I'm like, no, 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 no. I think it's the wrong one. They said, no, 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 it's not the wrong one. It's you.
For sure.
You are going to referee that match. You have been doing well. You know that sentence? You have been doing well. That gave me confidence. And I don't know. I'm not sure if that person was aware that, hey, that sentence on its own, you have been doing well.
For sure.
I'm like, hey, me? In the Soweto Derby? I said, okay, I'm available. That was Tuesday morning. Thursday, they made an announcement, tickets sold out. That game was played 20 February 2010. Tickets sold out. Now you start to think of people who watches that match live, Bante Holo Misas, Wosi Dimo Famadi, all those people you love, Wosi Zemabeda. You like, yo, it's me who's going to do that match. If I mess up this match, I finish myself.
Yeah.
I went in there, did the match. 0-0 score. My phone rang the whole night getting congratulatory message.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then all my derbies, since then I got three derbies. Cup final. Dude, that's a final. I want to finally
Old
I want to finally with the order. Dude. Telkom knockout. 2 MTN 8.
Yes, sir.
Dude. Parasive. I think I might have a record of refereeing in a stadium where it was 93,000. Because at one stage, it was 93,000 spectators at FNB in one of the three derbies. I don't remember them reaching that number.
No.
But the one that stands out for me, it's the beer cup. The Kaling, where the supporters select. That one, you know, if you want to enjoy the derby, that is the derby you enjoy. Because the supporters put the lineup. The supporters make the sub. Now, I think it was the first one. I'm the first referee to do Carling Black Label Cup. When I arrived there, I said, hey, rules? They said, no, 58th minute, you stop the game, we're going to make a sub. Bang, you're going to make a sub. Hey, you I think the supporters do the lineup.
Yeah.
For the referee as well? No, 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 for referee.
You stay.
For me, I finished the match. Number one. Now, there was a player from Pirates called Msowawa. Chikepo from Malawi. And all these players that were playing there. But this one, I single him out because he was falling on the field. And then at one stage, he falls. I had to call the people to come and treat him, but the injury was not that serious. So I speak to him and say, hey, when I'm so over, they will substitute you.
Me, my friend, I finished the match. Mm. You, the supporters will SMS for you to be substituted. Mm. So stand up.
Since then, he never fell down. Eh? Yeah. And then 50th minute, I stopped the game. His number came out.
You see?
Mm. I told you, my friend.
The supporters want to substitute the referee. They will substitute for you to get. So that's how I love the club, because you get to enjoy the match and speak to the players in a way that, all right, my friend, the supporters gave you a chance. Now you're missing up the chance.
Mm.
But then, me, no sub.
When it comes to those big games, the ones we're talking about now, the derbies, the finals, and now it's Pirates Chiefs. Or just a normal derby.
Yeah.
Years ago, I think around 2004, 2003, I remember reading that one referee didn't make a decision because he was afraid of how the stadium would react. This was a long time ago. Mm. Now, how often does that come into play where you're thinking, hey, the game is so tense, things are so volatile right now in this game, that if I make a decision, whether it's right or wrong, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It can influence the safety
of
everybody here. Do you ever have to worry about things like that?
Yeah, you're right, Cesar. If you look at the stadium in Bloemfontein, for example, for people to get into the field, it's easy. You saw Bapana Zimbabwe. Those factors, sometimes they do influence, but at the end of the day, FIFA wants the correct decision.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But there are situations where the referee can use common sense for the safety of the players. If you say 2004, I think Orlando Stadium was how? Was the old Orlando?
Old Orlando, old Orlando,
Safety there.
Yeah, no, there was nothing.
I look at the old videos of Ian McLeod, you will see supporters sitting
on the touchline,
So under those circumstances, some of the things, decision, you're like, this one I will take it home. But now the safety has been improved.
Yeah.
There's more, you know, safety. Now take any decision, you'll be safe. Mm. I also saw there's a game in Egypt. Samalek and Al Ahly, where the referee was supposed to do a retake for the penalty. My friend, did not do that retake.
I know such situations. But Vic, before we wrap this up, right, I want to find out from you. You mentioned, you know, great enthusiasm in terms of improvement for the ABC Motsipe League. Now, when you look into the DSTV Premiership, I mean, there's also been talks this past season where certain coaches will be like, this is the official we got. I'm worried. I'm more worried about the officials than the actual game.
Yeah.
What are your prospects? What are you looking forward to perhaps next season? Do you perhaps foresee an improvement there as well?
Yeah, this season, we never had a great season, honestly. Mm. There were complaints every week. But then the authorities, the review committee was working overtime.
Mm-hmm.
But the authorities have seen that. There are discussions underway now, and a serious one.
Yeah.
No more. This one is serious. VR is the way to go to assist our referee with the current situation. It's just a matter of time where SAFA and PSL will make that announcement.
Yeah.
So to try and assist our referees. Because some of the decisions, if we had VR, you could see VR could have assisted. Mm. For example, Sikukune Shalos. Sangare has the ball and then he's pushed by Mango. Mango just took a chance. And a goal was given. VAR will have said, remember VAR enters on four things. Goal or no goal, penalty or no penalty, mistaken identity, and straight red cards. How many straight red cards? If you look at the current derby, Youssef Mart was supposed to be sent off. Two penalties could have been awarded for Pirates. So VAR could have come in and say, we are checking, and then they check. They assist our referees. But there's serious discussion between SAFA and PSL to try and assist our referees. I think maybe even the sponsors might have, you know, had a say to say, the public is crying.
Yeah.
Can we try and do something to assist the situation? So it's a matter of time. Gomez, as the national chair, is working very hard to ensure that we have VAR in the country that will improve the standard.
Pravik, that's it. What Chloe just said now. I take it back to when I started broadcasting. One of the things the person who coached me and taught me how to commentate used to stress a lot is be careful how and what you say about the next person, even when you're criticizing them, they've got a family, they've got loved ones there. So we have to always respect you. Yes. Even if I don't agree with you, I must respect you. Yes. But when you hear a coach now saying, hey, when I see Victor get worried before a game or after a game, the coach loses and says, as soon as I saw Victor, I knew. Do you think that's maybe a little bit irresponsible from the coach? Because you're influencing fans as well. Mm. It's like if I'm a commentator and you start the game, and as you're walking out the tunnel, I'm like, oh, we're going to have a game today. Victor's here, yo, we don't know what's going to happen. I'm already influencing people to think a certain way.
No,
so
you're correct.
So when coaches do that, don't you think it's a little bit unfair towards
the officials? Very unfair, because it's what we call in legal terms prejudice.
Yes.
You are judging before I even start working. Mm. So what if that day I have a brilliant game because you are only as good as your last game?
Mm.
So when a coach says that, he's judging someone. I mean, Gomez, I've seen it when I go with Gomez because they will be confused. Who's the ref? Is it Tungwani or Gomez today?
Yeah.
And when you say it's Gomez, yo, Safa, I'm a yellow card. And if you check, majority of the games that Gomez did in terms of giving those red cards, majority of them, they deserve those red cards. And someone will not have given, or in some games, those same red cards are not given.
Mm.
So it's totally unfair. Coaches must give us a chance, because if we're to criticize coaches, some of them will finish them.
Goodness gracious.
How did you substitute? How did you put that player who was useless on the match? Who misses sitters like that? But we don't have privileges.
We can't even say that as commentators.
You can't even say that. But some of them, you know, when I got them in the corner, I tell them, you are saying I'm wrong, but your player missed a sitter day. That player should have scored.
Yeah.
We had this argument where we are told as referees that, look, you are costing the coach's job.
Mm-hmm.
I gave a clear example. You were saying referees are costing the coach's job. Mm-hmm. Let's take a game here, Chiefs and Sundowns.
Mm-hmm.
Peterson was pressed by Shalulile.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Shalulile won the ball, he scored.
Mm.
He caused the team.
Yeah.
But on Wednesday, the same Peterson was in the starting lineup. What do you call that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Put by who? The same coach, we're building confidence for him. Not we also building confidence for the ref.
You are so shady, Vic.
No, that's fair.
I get it.
The same point that you said, you are costing the coach's job.
Yeah.
You make a mistake, Caesar watched Jesus this week. On Wednesday, Caesar is in the starting lineup.
Uh-huh.
No, I'll tell you why I ask. We had a situation, I forget your colleague's name.
Yeah.
I can picture him, it's just the name is gone, where he was doing a game in Durban. A fan came out of the stands with a vuvuzela and hit him.
No, Lwandile Mfike.
Lwandile
Mfike. Yeah.
And hit him with a vuvuzela.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On another day, it could have been much worse.
Yes.
That situation could have been scary.
Yeah.
Now, when coaches and us commentators are irresponsible with the way we speak about you and your decisions, we must also remember you need to be escorted out of the stadium.
Yeah.
You need to get to the hotel.
For sure.
You need to come to the next game.
For sure.
And so on and so on. And we have no responsibility over what fans can do.
Yeah. And on that... Lwandile comes from Dantan.
Yeah.
Dantan is a boxing area.
Yes, I am.
But I congratulate him on handling the situation.
Yeah.
Because someone could have lost it. We had one referee called Brian Sibisi the other day.
Mm-hmm.
He pushed a spectator who wanted to hit an assistant referee. He pushed him.
Yeah.
At that moment, it was befitting, but for a referee to push, it's not nice. It's
definitely not, not. Vic, we thank you so much for your time. This was so engaging and informative.
Extra time.
Extra time. Vic, I apologize on that. But next episode, maybe we'll look into it. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing, of course, all the information with us and some of your interesting stories as well. We really appreciate it. Hopefully you, of course, enjoyed it as much as we did. And that's how we wrap up the Arena Sports Show. For myself, Cleo Grace and Panza, and the rest of the team, it is cheers. Goodbye.
Click, click. Bang.